It is time for the Warren County Radio Bible School, so you can go get your Bible at this time and turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. And we'll be looking at our text and studying it in detail from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Today we're looking at a Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of February the 17th, 1924. And the title of this lesson is Joshua and the Conquest of Canaan. Now, while you're turning there, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Let me begin by reading again what we read in our last class from the book of Joshua, this time Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. And the first word of this verse I think is interesting. It is now. It says, now it came to pass after the death of Moses. Now. You know, that word now implies that something came before. And now we're going to go here. And I think you might want to take note how through the Old Testament, conjunctions like this are common that carry us along on the story, the history of the Old Testament and of what is said there. Every time you see a book begin with the word now, you know it is drawing on the things that have gone before. And we have just been looking at, if we'd been reading through the Bible, those first five books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, where Moses had given that law to the children of the children that had gathered at Mount Sinai and had taught them again those statutes and ordinances which God gave them. And then Moses was dead. And so the book of Joshua begins pointing back to those events with that conjunction. Now, it came to pass after the death of Moses, the servant of Jehovah, that Jehovah spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying. The expression, now it came to pass after the death of Moses, the servant of Jehovah, shows that the history of Israel is continued. In verse 2, God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. All who obey God are his servants. But Moses was God's servant in more than an ordinary way. He was always ready to do God's will. But his famous choice against the pleasures of sin and all the wealth and glory of Egypt to serve God and the relationship he sustained between God and the people as a prophet and interceder and lawgiver and mediator distinguished him as a servant of God from others and made him a type of Christ that he was. Let me read to you about that choice that he had made. The old Sunday school lesson had a misprint here when it said Hebrews 17:29-24. I caught it. There's no 17th chapter of Hebrews. It is Hebrews 11:24-29. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, accounting the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, that the destroyer of the firstborn should not touch him. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were swallowed up. Indeed, as a servant of God, he was a type of Jesus Christ. That is, we can see things in the life of Moses that remind us of things about Jesus. Jesus is called God's servant in the highest and deepest sense, and in the peculiar sense of being the Savior of the world. In Acts chapter 3, in verse 26, we read, "Unto you first, God, having raised up his servant, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from your iniquities." The servant there in Acts 3:26 is a reference to Christ, as also in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 18. "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased." There in the book of Matthew, the prophet being quoted is Isaiah. And we find that verse in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1. "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delighteth." And then we read this in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 13. "And now, thus saith Jehovah that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am Jehovah thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I have given Egypt as a ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in thy stead, since thou hast been precious in my sight and honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men in thy stead and peoples instead of thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, every one that is called by my name, and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, yea, whom I have made. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the peoples be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith Jehovah, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am Jehovah, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved, and I have shown that there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith Jehovah. I am God. Yea, since the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who can hinder it? And we read in Isaiah 53 in verse 11, he shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By the knowledge of himself shall my righteous servant justify many. He shall bear their iniquities. Truly Jesus was a servant of God in a manner that no one else was. And not only that, Jesus is that prophet that is said to be like unto Moses. Let me read to you Deuteronomy 18, verses 18 and 19. Moses wrote from the words of God, I will raise up them a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee. And I will put my words in his mouth, And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Peter tells us in that great gospel sermon he preached in Acts chapter 3, verses 22 through 26. Moses indeed said, A prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you from among your brethren, like unto me. Unto him shall ye hearken in all things, whatsoever he shall speak unto you. And it shall be that every soul that will not hearken to that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, and them that followed after, as many as have spoken, they have told of these days. Ye are the sons of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his servant, sent him to bless you, and turning every one of you away from your iniquities. Now, we read the expression in the Old Testament, a man of God. A prophet is called a man of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 27, And there came a man of God unto Eli, and said unto him, Thus saith Jehovah, Did I reveal myself unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in bondage unto Pharaoh's house? We read in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 6, He said unto him, Behold now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is a man that is held in honor, and all that he saith surely come to pass. Let us now go thither, peradventure he can tell us concerning our journey wherein we should go. We read in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 8, And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, he said to the king, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. It is because God revealed his will through the prophet, and he represented God to the people, that a man is called a man of God. And this is especially true concerning Moses. In Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 1, And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And we read this also in Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6, Then the children of Judah drew nigh unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kizenite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that Jehovah spake unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and concerning thee, in Kadesh Barnea. Moses is called the man of God because God gave the law to Israel through Moses. The idea of Moses being a servant of Jehovah and a man of God were descriptions of who he was and what he did. They were not titles. What a blessed thing it is that all in faith and service to God can so live as to hear Jesus say in the end, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. What a glorious truth it is that all who will come out from the world and keep unspotted from it can become sons and daughters of the Lord Almighty. Children of God, men and women of God. In the New Testament we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 and then down through 7, Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with iniquity, or what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what portion hath a believer with an unbeliever, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, even as God said, I will dwell among them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Class is now dismissed.